people knowing that you're credentialed insofar as you have the experience. But the credential thing has turned into, for one, it was a voluntary thing in the past. The guilds and so forth, they were things that people would join because they were concerned with the profession and the integrity therein. But it went from that to something that's forced upon people where everything is credentialed. You have to have, you know, a license to do this and a license to do that. And you got to have this for that. And if you don't have this, you can't do that. It has no bearing over whether or not you're actually good at it. It's just something kind of arbitrary. Well, one of the crowds that I think works around the credentialing system is the libertarian crowd. And the reason I say that is because they kind of recognize that, hey, as long as we have something that we call an institute, and as long as we agree on it, and as long as we give out certificates saying that we all graduated from parts of this institute, and as long as we publish each other's stuff, then we just look like the expert class. Do you think that this is one area that we can, fight in a way that's actually effective, kind of make our own credentialing systems? Is that possible?
It's absolutely crucial to do. There's no question about it. This has been with us for a long time, this growing credentialism. But there's the only, we're not going to eliminate any kind of expertocracy. Just not possible. The way technology is, the way knowledge is, the way things are in this world, the interconnectedness, all that kind of thing is not going to happen, that we can eliminate the expertocracy and restore some form of older government or something. That's not going to happen. And there's nothing inherently wrong, like you say, with credentials, and there's nothing inherently wrong with experts guiding rulers in areas in which they have actual genuine expertise. Yeah. So what we need to do is replace their experts with our experts. Yeah. We need to have people who are reality based, who have a realism based philosophy, who understand these limitations that we've been talking about. So that is exactly the way to do it. We need to build, and some people say we need to build a parallel economy. Mm-hmm. Well, that's partly true, but that's, you know, there's a lot of nice thought there, and we should do that to the extent that we can. We should certainly have, our own bands of brothers and that sort of thing, community, neighbors, all that. Absolutely crucial. But we need to band together. And so right now, there's some of us talking in the same way that you're discussing. We need to have these congregations of scholars that are not necessarily in any one institution, because yes, founding an institution costs tons of money. But mm-hmm. we could still do the same sorts of things that they can do independently of them, and talk, and like you say, issue our own journals, issue our own mm-hmm. books, and replace them. Replace them with superior ideas. They fight dirty. We have to fight. This is a war. This is a culture. But people don't understand when they say, oh, yeah, it's a culture war. They don't understand or grasp the war part of that as well as they should. This is a fight. This is a fight for our lives. They're trying to take everything that we have. You will own nothing and be happy. Yep. This is the way they're used. This is their phrase. This is they boast of it, and they're utilizing their experts to try to fool us with their flimflam. So we have to fight back. Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's funny. Nowhere is it more, and that's an exactly correct observation about we have to make our own expert class, because nowhere is it more apparent. I remember I'm 33 years old, and I grew up, and when I was in elementary school, and they were teaching us how to cite the media, whether it would be a news report or the newspaper or something. I was in that in-between generation where, you know, digital high-speed internet wasn't really in all of our houses till I basically started high school. So while I was in elementary school, grade 5, 6, 7, 8, and they're teaching us how to write these reports, you know, these little literacy things you do in your English classes. And the idea was basically, well, how do we know if something's reputable? Well, if it comes from a newspaper that everyone reads. Well, if it comes from the newspaper where they call themselves journalists and it counts as a newspaper, then therefore it must be the news and it must be reputable. It really was that simple. And that was harder to do at a certain time. It cost money to set up a newspaper. You had to have a printing operation. You had to pay people a bunch of money, and you had to have, you know, but now it's actually easier to do that. This should be something we should be using to our advantage. You know, the greatest thing about the internet, they say, is that everyone has a voice. And also the worst thing about the internet is everyone has a voice. Well, there's tons of voices out there that are stupid and nonsensical and so forth. We just have to sound smarter than everyone else, and people will actually listen to us. And, you know, one of the aspects that makes this war so difficult is that we know the left cheats. We know the left rigs elections, whether that means actual voter fraud or just massive psychological propaganda and consciousness rigging, at least. We know that's the case. We know that they release wrong information, and they know it's wrong. You know, people keep asking me, they'll ask me, well, why does the left always win? And it says, well, they don't always win. But when they do win, it's because they lie. You know, they lie and they live in lies, and we're not allowed to lie. That's always going to be the disadvantage. It's like we're the football team where we're objectively smarter, we're objectively better, but we don't allow our guys to take steroids. They say, screw it, we'll just take steroids, and then we'll just put our own commissioner in who will take that legislation out of the league, and we'll just keep cheating. So if we're going to beat these guys, then we just objectively have to be better at everything that we do. And the bright side, I think, and hopefully you'll agree, is we are a lot smarter. And we are a lot more savvy, and we are more entrepreneurial, and we don't just have a unity of negativity. You know, the left is against us because they just hate reason. We're not just against the left. We're actually for something. We're actually for truth. I think that this is a time where we can actually unite as common sense thinkers, like you said, and form these organizations where we can push back with smarter stuff. Do you have any idea of any of these things on the horizon?
Do I have any plans myself personally or something? No, but
or like something we can look to, something we can point us to.
There's no open organizations yet. There's some things like the National Association of Scholars that works within the old system of universities and everything, tries to get them to reform themselves. There's the Heterodox Academy that does much the same service. These are fine, but they try to be ecumenical, if you like, in their inclusion of people that we don't want. That we don't want. That we don't want anybody on our side who's not with us. We want only the hardcore realists. That's it. We have to fight for this, and it's going to be a very long fight. The reason they won is because they embrace the idea of the long march through the institution, which I'm sure you've heard of. We need to do exactly the same thing. This is not going to be something that we can go. We're not going to vote ourselves out of it. We're not going to be able to just go to the ballot box and solve our problems with a simple vote. That's just not going to happen. We have to take the long view on this. Fight every battle that you can and try to stay alive through this. But we have to do this systematically. We have to do this carefully. We have to build these systems of our own networks of scholars, our own networks of scientists, our own networks of doctors, and so forth. There are a lot of brilliant people on our side, but a lot of people are frightened of coming out and exposing themselves because you do become a target. You do become a target. You get canceled. If you're like a lot of us, like me, you can't find regular employment. It's impossible because you're not going to be seen as a viable risk to take by any company, no matter how brilliant your ideas are. It's just not going to happen. So we need to come together and such a mass of people that when somebody does get canceled, they have some sort of alternative to go to, so that will embolden others to speak out when things they see, they know are wrong, which happens, you know, every hour of every day now. They don't even bother, like you said, they don't even bother with the truth. They just outright lie, and they know that you know they're lying, and they know, you know, everybody knows everybody's lying. They lie anyway, and they don't even think it's worth trying to correct or have any relation to the truth at this point. And so there's a little bit of payback that they were stung a little bit on this, but it didn't matter. They double down and they come back and they lie some more. They lie with greater fervor. And that's just what's going to happen. So we have to be ready for that. We cannot expect these people. A lot of them are just evil. They are evil.
They are.
There's no other reason to that they're straight out evil. They're not going to be nice. They're not going to play by the rules. They're not going to do the right thing. They're going to embrace tyranny, and they are going to abuse you, and they're going to abuse the system. And that's the only way to look at this. We can't look at this as if somehow it's going to calm down and people are going to get better. They have a taste of blood, and they're just going to keep going for it. They're becoming wealthy over this. How many people did we see become billionaires during this, the lockdowns and all the other things for Corona doom? All the billionaires, I don't know how much more money they got, but they increased their wealth by vast amounts. And so, and the same thing with all of these crises that they invent for themselves, because they're making out like bandits. They're literally bandits in this. And so that's why we have all this, everything that's going on. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, we've heard that before, and it's true.
So what do you think's going on right now? And you're right, but what do you think's going on with the new pills coming out? Because personally, I had Jeffrey Tucker on Friday, and I am I'm not an optimist, I'm not a pessimist. I'm just a realist, you know. I know that clown world, the way that it stands, can't stay the same way because it's clownish. I mean, it's, you know, the expert class, the Klaus Schwab types, they know it's based on it's a house built on sand. So they've got to transition to another house built on sand to distract people. Personally, I think, you know, a lot of people are realizing that the vaccines are not necessarily the safest thing that's ever been invented. A lot of people are going, wait, I got my two shots, and now you're saying I got to have a booster in a month and a half. I want to keep going to the restaurant. That's not what I signed up for. I think they kind of implicitly know this. And Jeffrey Tucker said, this is why he didn't say it like this, but he said they're transitioning to the next grift. Well, the next grift is going to be the pills. It's, they recognize that the vaccine confidence is failing, that they're kind of grasping at straws. So their clean exit is going to be something else to get you onto the next thing, but still make a little bit of money off of you, off of the vestige or the ripple effect of the crisis that they've gone over the last 2 years. What do you think is happening now with the pills as far as the vaccine narrative?
Well, I think before the pills, the vaccine narrative has not failed. They're going to continue to push it. They're going to fight the United States, the Fifth Circuit, ruled against the Biden administration, at least put a temporary stay on the mandates.
Yep.
where the dictate of the rulers said, you must take this medicine in order to work. If you don't take this medicine, you can't work, so you have to starve to death. So if they get away with that, which they might, then they're going to keep pushing it. They're already pushing it on. They're pushing it on kids right now. They're building up the propaganda for that. So they're not giving up on these vaccines entirely.
No.
Partly it's to do with money, but partly it's because it's just hubris. They have convinced themselves that this is the only way out of this crisis that they created, and therefore they're not going to give up on these vaccines so easily. They're going to force it on kids. They're going to mandate it like they did in California. They're going to mandate it in all sorts of spots all around the world. And today they were flirting with the idea of having vaccine passports, not just in Los Angeles and New York, but all over the United States to travel. So I don't think they're quite ready to give this stuff up yet, but they are failing. That's obvious. I mean, they've been. So I tried to tell people when the first vaccine data was released back in December, I predicted this right out on the blog, December of 2020. I said, look, here's the data. They said they claim it's 95% efficacious. So no way. I said, when this stuff, like all drugs touted by all pharmaceutical, big pharmaceuticals, they tout these big numbers when they first come out, and they always fall back to some low, mundane, you know, boring, banal level when they're out and they can't control the data anymore. They can control the data that they have in these experiments that they do. They control every aspect of it so they can massage it to make it look as good as they can for themselves. But when you finally have to release these drugs, then people start noticing. The efficacy fell immediately to 50%. Now it's down to 40%. And it wanes at maybe 6 to 8 months down to, what, 10%, 20% less. And the same thing is going to happen with these pills. Listen, if we allow them to say, you must take this medicine in order to have a job, why can't they say, you must take this other medicine, these pills, too? Yeah. Why not? If they did it once, they could do it for these other things. So they may push that as well, except these are kind of, these pills, there's two types. There's these kind of retrovirals, they're, you know, like Tamiflu or something like this. You need to be infected first in order for them to be infected, not prophylactic. You know, not something you take like ivermectin, which they passed off. The genuine prophylactics like ivermectin, vitamin D, and all these are passed off as horse paste or conspiracy theories. So you can almost not go wrong by taking anything you see from the leading newspapers, to get back to your point, and doing the opposite of what they say. Now, yep. That won't give you a solid 1,000% batting average, but you're going to do much better than you would by listening to them. That's just a fact.